Well, I ask for your prayers this afternoon. Pray the Lord to bless this portion of His Word to us. I'm thankful to have a portion of salvation that's not just religion, but it truly fills every need that I have. I agree with that. He's all that I need. I'd like to speak to us a little bit by the help of the Lord about wisdom. We're using a sharp axe. I'd like to turn to the text from which that comes. Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter. Start with the verse that contains that text that I really want to consider. Then I want to give some scriptures before that. 10 and 10 of Ecclesiastes says, "If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct." Believe speaking here of an instrument or a tool that would be used that's designed to split, it's designed to cut for that purpose, such as an axe or something like that. You ever try to use a dull axe? Well, you can do it. You put enough force to it. You put enough strength and power behind it. You can still accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. But it's so much easier. Evan had borrowed a little hatchet of mine a while back and came to me after trying to use it a little bit and said, "Would you please sharpen this thing?" Well, I was a little nervous about that. You know, I remember even as a child, get a little pocket knife, and I had been told, and I was quick to buy into it, you're more liable to hurt yourself or cut yourself with a dull knife than you are a sharp one. Because in the process of using it, you have to put more strength to it, and it doesn't work as well, and you're more prone to slip and have an accident than if you have a tool that's made to its purpose. And so what is speaking of here, a man that would use a tool that's not sharp, that's dull, that's still able to accomplish the same thing, perhaps, but it goes about it a much more difficult way. All right, so I'd like to look now in the 9th chapter. 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes in the 11th verse. "I return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all." Scripture seems almost counterintuitive, doesn't it? That the battle is not to the strong, the race is not to the swift. Well, what is your swiftness for if it's not to win a race? What is the strength in battle for if it's not to win the battle? But so it says here that whenever I looked, and the wise man looking back over what he had learned in life and the wisdom the Lord had given me, said, I've observed that it's not the strong ones that necessarily win the battle. It's not the ones that are quickest and fleetest of foot that always win the race. Remember what the 40th chapter of Isaiah says? That even the youth shall faint, and the young men shall become weary. Even the ones that are in the prime of their strength. This is a battle, and this is a race that requires more than just our own fortitude or our own strength to be able to get through it. I need something more than that. So I believe it was Paul in 1 Corinthians, speaking of wisdom and the wisdom of God, which is the foolishness, is foolishness unto the world. He's called to their remembrance. You notice that not many wise, not many mighty are called, not many wise men after the flesh, he said, are called. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. It's not about the wisdom of men. It's not about the most intellectual or the smartest people that are able to make it in the kingdom of heaven. It's not about being able to be the most educated. We know these things. But as the Scripture brings out, there's something more. Life happens to all. As time and opportunity and as chance comes to all, an opportunity. Man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. I remember my great-grandfather, Brother Porter, teaching one time, and he used the scripture in the first chapter of Isaiah. It said, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider." He said, you know, the ox is of more wisdom than men are. They know the hand that feeds them. They know and recognize where the stall is. But mankind, the nation of Israel, it said here, doesn't know. Man also knoweth not his time. Pharisees certainly were in that place. You don't realize the time of your visitation. You're able to look at the sky and you're able to see, because of the color of it, that there's going to be rain. But you're not able to look and understand the times that you're in now. You're not able to discern the signs of the time. How important it is, more than the skill of men's trades or ability or the wisdom of man that they can produce. I need a spiritual wisdom. I need a wisdom that comes from above. Not the wisdom that comes from below. Not what this world is able to produce. But I need a wisdom that comes from above that helps me to be able to understand and rightly discern the times that we're in. Scripture says of the sons of Issachar that they were men that had understanding of their times, of what Israel needs to do. Lord, help every one of us to have understanding of our times, to be able to know and understand and discern the times that we live in. I want to not read all of this, but call our minds to the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. It says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, to plant, to pluck up, to kill, to heal. There's a time to weep and to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away and a time to gather in." You know what wisdom does? Wisdom rightly discerns which time it is. Wisdom understands in a situation what the time is, what the season is. I'm able to decipher between the two. That's what the Scripture calls or likens to using a sharp axe. You know, I can go through life using a dull-edged axe. I can go through life just blundering my way, and I look back at times in my own life and I realize I didn't use wisdom there. I didn't really understand what was going on. The person that I was dealing with, I didn't really understand where they were coming from. I didn't really correctly understand the situation, and I went right in and I made my decision, or I said the words that I said, and I look back on it now to think what a mess I made of it. You know, if I would have applied wisdom, if I would have, Lord, direct my words, Lord, direct my mind, direct my thoughts in this situation. You know, the Scripture likens that to having a sharp edge to the axe. That as I make my blow, or as I'm doing what I'm trying to do, I can accomplish so much more than just trying, as the phrase you've maybe heard, like a bull in a china closet. You know, we can go through life that way, just smashing our way along and bumping into one thing after another. Maybe I'll get to the other side of the room. You know, there are situations that we need wisdom, that we need, if I can use the word finesse, that I need to be able to know and understand what time is it. Is it a time to laugh? I'm one that sometimes I like being able to use some humor, and I believe that the Lord gave us the capacity of humor. I don't believe that He intends for us to just go through life with a straight, solemn face all the time. I believe that He created the ability to see humor in a situation. But you know, I also, if I'm to have wisdom, I have to be able to know that's not every time. I need to have the discernment and the wisdom to know a sharp edge to know that this isn't the time for that. At the bedside of someone that's dying, of somebody that's in affliction, of somebody that's in grief, of somebody that maybe has failed in their life. You know, you're to go to them in the spirit of meekness with wisdom. It requires wisdom in dealing with a situation like that. At the bedside of someone that's dying, that's not the time to maybe tell jokes. Maybe that's not the time to apply in another situation what I would apply to. You understand what I'm saying? Use it as we're going through life. Lord, help me that the tools that I use have a sharp edge on them. Because I don't want to be as a man that with my children, with my family, with those that I deal with, I just hack away. You ever use the wrong tool for the job? Maybe you need a big sheetrock saw and you got a pocket knife. Maybe you can accomplish the same thing, but it takes so much more effort. And in the process, you make a mess of the whole situation. And sometimes it's so much better to just stop and get the right tool. Lord, help us to use the right tool. When we're dealing with individuals and with situations and with souls, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me to not just be as one that goes and hacks my way through a situation. And I'll say whatever comes to my mind and whatever impulse that I have and whatever way the emotion goes. That's how I'm going to act upon it. Because we can cause so much damage and use it an axe that's dull. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fish that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of them that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Our world seems to put more value upon strength, upon power, upon being able to make a way for yourself, being able to stand your own ground, be able to hold your own, be able to show that you're the man in this situation. You know, I can show that I am the man in my home. I can show that I rule this home. I'm the head of it. What I says goes. What I say goes. And I'm going to make a note. I'm going to show who's the boss around here. I don't do that. I try not to do that. But you know, even in our actions, in the way that I approach situations, I can use a dull-edged axe like that. And I can say, I'm going to make it happen. I have the authority to make it happen. You know, people in places of spiritual leadership have used authority to great detriment, to great harm of souls. I have words, and I'm going to speak with the authority of the Word of God, and I can slash, and I can crush, and I can destroy your hope and your confidence and your faith by my position, by the place. No, the Word of God, is the Word of God dull? The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It accomplishes what the Lord wants to accomplish. It doesn't go, and you don't have to use it just hacking and slicing. You don't generally see a physician, a surgeon using a machete to perform a delicate operation. Use little X-Acto knives, those little sharp blades that are much more precise. You know, the Lord knows exactly the place to go. As we heard this morning, Lord, we don't know what to say. We don't know how I could go and I could try to force over on you the way that you need to live. I can look at you and say, this is what you need. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But you know, if I try to force and push you along that way, there's a much better way to do it.
Yes.
There is the Word of God that is able to accomplish by wisdom, by rightful use of it, by applying it in the right way. It's what is sharp and quick and powerful. And it'll accomplish what the Lord wants to accomplish. In the same stroke, it can cut and it can bind. It can tear, slice apart, and it can heal back off. You know, my words aren't able to do that. My wisdom is not able to do that, but the Lord's wisdom is. So Lord, help me to realize the battle's not to the strong. It's not to my strength. It's not in our situations that we face with individuals, with co-workers, with family members. Lord, help me to realize it's not in the wisdom of my own words or my own ability to navigate my way through this. Lord, I need Your wisdom to be able to know how to handle this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Jesus said, as you go out in the midst as lambs among wolves, that's a defenseless position. You're outnumbered. You're outmaneuvered. You're not able. But go out with wisdom as a serpent and be as harmless as a dove. There is a wisdom that is far better than strength, as the wise man said. There was a likening here unto an old poor wise man. Nobody gave much account to him. Nobody paid much attention to him. But you know, sometimes it's the little old gray-haired sister in a congregation that's steadfast when trouble comes, that's able to just quietly speak out and give just a simple little answer that can go so much further than what someone that's maybe that's brash or that's in a place of authority or that would have the wisdom. Sometimes a simple little saint of God. I can remember times, ministers' meetings, where there would be some question back and forth and maybe a little confusion that we're working with. How should we look at this? And old Brother Veda, I remember standing up and just giving some simple words. It wasn't something that was profound. Different times, I remember him standing up and saying, "Oh, brethren, we don't have a creed." We don't, and it, in the situation that it was in, you know, wisdom can go so much further than trying to force what I'm saying, then trying to forcefully give what I say by wisdom, to know the time that I'm in, the people that I'm speaking to, discernment to know a little bit of where they're at. You know, I believe the Apostle Paul exercised this in those that he spoke with, in those that he dealt with. He oftentimes used illustrations that likened them to a situation that was familiar to them. Whether it was the Grecian games or whatever the analogy was, as he stood before those in authority, the rulers, you look at the way that he handled himself in wisdom before them, the way that he presented the gospel to them. Lord, give us wisdom. Psalms 33:16 says, "There is no king that's saved by a multitude." Goes on to say, "A horse is a vain thing to trust in." There's something greater than that. Jeremiah, I'd like to turn and look at this. Jeremiah, the 9th chapter. Jeremiah 9:23. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in those things I delight, saith the Lord." Let this be your glory. Let this be your pursuit. Let it be the object that you strive for. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know your meekness. I want to know your wisdom. Who was the prophet that Was it Ezekiel maybe? He said that he was going unto a certain people and a certain, and he went and he sat among them for 7 days. He said that he went in the heat of his spirit. The burden was heavy on him, but he went and he sat where they sat. And he observed and he noticed what was going on, and he was able to maybe to empathize a little bit with where they are. Lord, help us in all of our dealings with individuals that I never lose sight that it's an eternity-bound soul. I heard just the other day a religious leader with a very high testimony of himself talking about those that had walked away, those that had been lukewarm, he said, we're glad they're gone. They were riffraff anyway. No, it's an eternity-bound soul. It's not riffraff. It's a soul that's bound for eternity. Do we deal with them out of love, out of concern, and out of a burden for them? Lord, help us that our wisdom come from above, that I would glory in His wisdom and His ability. Oh, the Lord, Scripture says He's given us the tongue of the learned, that I might know how to speak a word in season. Lord, give us the tongue of the learned, to be able to know how to speak a word in season. What does Proverbs say about a word fitly spoken? It's like apples of gold and pitchers of... It just goes together. You know, we can go at it in our wisdom and look at it. This is what they need and that's what they need to hear. And you know, it might be the truth, but it might need to be exactly what they don't need to hear yet. And I can go in and I can go at it in my own wisdom, and it will not fit. You take puzzle pieces that don't fit together. You can force them, you can press them, but you know, if you get the right puzzle piece and you put it in, it just fits. It just goes right in there. So it is with a word that's fitly spoken. When the Lord gives wisdom and understanding, Lord, I'm facing this situation. Would You give me wisdom? Give me the words to say here, Lord. Even as the disciples were going to be going before magistrates and rulers and taken up for persecution, He was said, you don't need to premeditate. You don't need to study what you're going to say beforehand. The Holy Spirit will give it to you in that day, in that time, just what you need. Lord, we need that kind of wisdom, that kind of understanding. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, give wisdom. Isaiah, I believe the prophecy of Christ is said, and there would be upon Him the spirit of wisdom and of understanding. You know, that Scripture is a good prayer for all of us. Lord, help me to have the spirit of wisdom and of understanding. Lord, help me in this situation. I can't see the hearts of men like You do. Jesus was able to look and discern down to the very depth of the heart of man and know right where they are, to know the woman at the well, all about her life's history. Folks, we're not able to look on individuals without the discernment of the Lord and be able to discern that kind of thing. Lord, help me to be careful in my words, cautious in my approach, loving in my dealings, meek in my interactions with people. Lord, I need the wisdom that cometh from above, which is what? It's first peaceable and easy to be entreated. Lord, that's the kind of wisdom that I want to use as I go through life. Because I don't want to go through life and look back and I leave a trail of broken glass behind me. As the bull charges through the china closet, so to speak, Lord, help me not to leave a legacy of brokenness and hurts and wounds behind me. Lord, help us that we not wound with a word. Oh, how weighty words are. How big a matter, a fire, a little matter can kindle. Folks, when we bring it down close to home, there are people among the saints that have come in and been hurt. And I don't say this in a way to point fingers, because in doing so I point fingers at myself. But there are those among the saints that have always been, I would venture to say, that have not used wisdom in the way they said something, in the time, in the way that they approached somebody, in the way that they went to someone and said a word that was out of season. It was out of place. Maybe it was said in the heat of my spirit, or maybe even with the purest of intentions. And folks, when it comes down to it, I'm not going to be able to get to the judgment and say, I didn't make it. I didn't go with the saints. I didn't go the way of the truth because they said this to me. I'm not going to be able to use that for a defense, because I stand and give account for the grace of God that will get me through that situation and keep me on the right path. It's necessary, or it will be, that offenses will come. You can know they'll come. You'll know, when you're dealing with people, things will be spoken. But oh Lord, help us to be careful. Lord, help us with our words, that I apply them in such a way that they minister grace unto the hearers. That I not go and try to measure somebody up in my way, in my time, with my words. I can't force them to that place. Oh, there's a place of instructing and meekness and wisdom. But so much damage can be done by a word out of season and out of place. This poor wise man that nobody thought a whole lot of saved the city by his wisdom. You can read in the 20th chapter of 2 Samuel of a wise woman, the rebellion of Sheba, I believe it was, a wise woman in the city of Abel, that saved the city by her wisdom. As they were coming and besieging the city, and they cast up weaponry against it or whatever, and they came to it. She cried out over the walls of the city and said, come, let me speak with you. And by the meek words of her wisdom, she was able to go, and she was able to understand what the need was. She was able to defuse the situation, deliver the rebel, the one that was causing the uprising, deliver him, and the rest of the city was spared. How much trouble, how much hurt could be spared sometimes by us using a little wisdom, by us stopping a little bit. Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. I want to take in. I want to give the Lord time. Folks, sometimes we as people can be so quick to respond, to react, that I don't give the Lord time to say, hold on. I don't hardly give the Lord time to give wisdom of how I should handle the situation. So Lord, help us to give Him time, to give Him space. Seek the Lord and let this be Your glory. Wisdom hath builded her house. You know, there's another part of a house that needs to be torn down. The offense, the brother offended, is harder to be won than a strong city, Scripture says. For his contentions are as the bars of a castle. You know, bars of a castle, very difficult to go and force down. By design, they're strong. You can go, and you know what will happen with a dull axe? You'll get tired and you'll throw the axe aside much sooner than if you use a sharp one. You know, if we go about it in the wrong way, we can face burnout. I've tried, I've said everything I know to say, I've told them everything they need to hear, and they're still not responding to it. Have I applied some wisdom? Lord, help me to scale the walls of the city by wisdom. Lord, help us to know how. And it's a prayer of mine for all of us. Lord, help us to know how to scale some walls. It's not going to be by just storming the thing, and we're going to give you so much pressure until you just... That's not what brings humility and brokenness of heart. But oh, the Lord sure can. Those coals of fire that are heaped on it, who would have thought? By an act of kindness. But you know, that's the meekness of wisdom. By the actions that we give, by the humility that we show, by the kindness that we still give forth. By that, you'll be able to heap coals of fire. That's the kind of thing it'll be that'll melt down the bars. That'll be able, if anything, the Lord can work through to be able to break down the bars and allow us to scale the walls. Remember Rehoboam? 1 Kings, the 12th chapter. As it came his time to rule, I would say the bar was set pretty high before him. the wisest man that had walked on the earth to that time, Solomon, that he followed behind. I want to turn and just look at a little bit of this. The 12th chapter. The congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, the third verse, 12th chapter. Thy father hath made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart ye for 3 days. Then come again to me, and the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And he spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. But he wasn't satisfied with that. He turned to those that were his own advisors. He was looking for something else. The wisdom of this didn't appeal to him. He said, I want something. What do you think? And so they told him exactly the contrary. No, you go and lay the burden on him. How many people, how many rulers of nations, of regimes, of empires have tried to do this very thing? We're going to force loyalty out of you. We're going to demand allegiance from you. And it'll only work so far. You'll have to keep making the walls of the fence higher and higher to keep them in. But there's a better way, see? You use a sharp sword. You use a sharp axe to accomplish the very same thing. You just be a servant to them. You just humble yourself before them. You apply a little wisdom. You won't have to have tall fences around the city because they'll be held right in here. You'll win their hearts that way. There's quite a difference. Wisdom, going about it with a blunt axe. I'd like to look at the 4th chapter of Colossians. Leave this challenge with us. Colossians 4, the 5th verse. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Oh, I wonder sometime, how much time do we have left? Lord, how long do we have? The song been around for years. Just a little longer. Please, Jesus. Just a little while longer to be able to draw them in. Lord, help us to redeem the time. I can, by my own haste, by my own heat of spirit, by my own lack of wisdom, I can create a situation. I can damage things that would take years to be able to mend. Lord, help me not to go through life that way. I don't want children. I don't want those within my influence to resent me because I handled something out of a lack of wisdom. Wisdom, the last part of that verse that we started with, about the blunt edge of the axe. It says, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Look at the meanings of those words. The best rendering I can get from it is, it's most likely to succeed. The thing that you want to accomplish, the thing that you want to be able to get done, the end that you want to see, you're most likely to succeed at accomplishing it by the application of wisdom. By allowing the Lord's wisdom to direct our steps and direct our thoughts and direct our hearts and our minds, that I not rely on my own wisdom. I feel like I need to close with this familiar verse in James. Saints, I can't tell you how many times I've thought, Lord, I don't have the wisdom. Lord, I don't know how to deal with this. As many of you fathers, I guess all of you, every situation, it seems like, is different. Lord, I need wisdom for this one. How do I deal with this situation now? Lord, how do I deal with this child now? I want to use wisdom in the way I approach it. I don't want to just use a one-size-fits-all approach and just force my way through. Lord, help me to use wisdom in the way I approach it. In situations and dealing with souls, Lord, I don't know what they need. I don't know where You've already brought them to. Lord, I don't know where they are. I need wisdom. You ever feel that way? Lord, I'm dealing with a difficult situation, a difficult person. Lord, I need wisdom. I don't know how to handle it. Maybe if you're like me, you've handled something and think, Lord, I didn't do that right. I didn't handle that right. I need wisdom. And so the Scripture tells us, and this to me is such an encouragement. It says that if, fifth verse, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and what? And it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You know, I believe the Lord knows the desire of our hearts. He knows our frame. He knows our weakness, our tendencies. And I believe when we come to Him with sincerity of heart, Lord, I'm waiting for You here. Lord, I need wisdom. I'm asking You. I know that You're the giver of wisdom. Lord, I know You know exactly what to do here. And my prayer at times has been, Lord, even if You don't bring it to me in a way that spells out all of the answers, where I look at it and I'm able to say that, okay, I need to do this, and then this, and then this, and then, Lord, please at least incline my heart in the right way. You know, the Lord's able to do that whenever we yield ourselves into His hands. Lord, would You lay upon my heart the desires, incline my heart in the way that I need to go, in the way that I need to handle this. And you know, I've been amazed at times. The Lord is able, when we get to a place that we're empty and we don't have wisdom and we don't have the words to say, the Lord can bring it to our minds. And I think, I wasn't even thinking, where'd that come from? And it was just what was needed for that situation and time. The Lord knows. The Lord, the God of all wisdom, is able and will, if we seek Him, give us the wisdom that we need. We might be able to walk in wisdom towards those that are without, redeeming the time, and towards those that we deal with. You pray for me that I might have this wisdom. Amen.